This is not one of these prepackaged sermons I've preached before. This narrative was written last night. Right before I caught the flight to come here, and I've been traveling from California to get here, so we got up, went to sleep about 1:05, 1:08 in the morning, got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be here right now, and I'm going to speak in a very accelerated manner because I have so many Starbucks in my system right now, so I just... But so I asked the Holy Spirit, this is like, we're gathering the prophets coming out of the pandemic. What are you saying? And I just heard the Spirit of God. So I started writing it last night, and it took me, and the title is a little bit different than the usual, and it's fresh, and it's for this gathering. And the subject matter is, let's go back to Judea. And you'll understand what that means in a second. John chapter 11, if you have your Bibles on your phone, on your iPhones, and if you have an Android, please get an iPhone. John chapter 11. Just serious. The entire world, I mean, you're making it complicated, right? You're the rebels, right? Right? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Samsung. John chapter 11. You know the story, the Lazarus story. Once upon a time, there was a man named Lazarus who was a friend of Jesus, and this journey right here, there are a number of powerful declarations made by the Messiah that undergird, prophetically speaking, the season we're currently living in. John chapter 11, verse 7. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. His disciples objected and said, Rabbi, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. And by stone you, that's not a Berkeley, California reference, by the way. Are you going there again? They try to kill you. There was an assassination attempt. You want to go back to the very place they try to take you out? Jump. Go forward. Verse 25. Here's another declaration from Jesus. First, I want to go back to Judea. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told them. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Jump to verse 40. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory with the caveat if you believe? Then Jesus shouted, verse 43, Lazarus, come forth. The 44th verse. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. So let me take three declarations from the Messiah here. Let's go back to Judea. If you believe you will see my glory, unwrap him and let him go. These are three powerful, transformative, atmosphere-shifting declarations stemming from the mouth of our Savior. These declarations, each of them, they undergird with great prophetic and practical application what we must engage in our current reality. We're living in a very interesting time, ladies and gentlemen. There is so much out there. And even in the prophetic scale, there is so much out there. Somehow, we're in the midst of somehow juxtaposing, not necessarily creating a dichotomy, between the prophetic voices expressing the fact that we are about to see more people come to Christ. There is a global awakening, the power of God. And I do believe that, by the way. I truly believe that. On the other side of the prophetic scale, we have the get ready for food shortages and get ready for this and get ready for that. And things are going to get darker. And, you know, Dorothy, hey, forget about Kansas, all of that. So we have this scale and we have this scale. Where do we land? We land in the reality that Jesus is still the hope of glory. We land on the fact that if we're still on this planet, more importantly, if the Spirit of the living God, which he is still on this planet, we can, with great biblical undergirded truth, declare that we are still about to see more people come to Jesus as Lord and Savior than ever before. But these three declarations, let's begin with number one. Let's go back to Judea. Repeat after me. Let's go back to Judea. What does this mean? If you're taking any notes, and good luck with that. Here's the first prophetic declaration from John 11 for our current day and age. I need you to get ready. And I wrote this yesterday, and I sense God just telling me, release it. I need you. I need Sam. I need all of us. I need Apostle Brazelton, Dr. Randy Clark, each and every one of you. Joey's, really? I need Pastor Joey from Washington State. I need pastors here that I know to get. Here's the word. Get ready to occupy the very area hell has fought to keep you out of. I'll repeat that for the hearing impaired. I need you to get ready to occupy the very area hell has fought to keep you out of. Let's go back to Judea. He said, let's go back. His disciples, his friends, his brothers look at him, and parenthetically speaking, what in the world are you talking about? You can't go back there. The last time you were there, they tried to kill you. Why would he ignore the advice of the closest people around him? Why would he go back to the very place where they attempted to kill him, assassinate him? He went back to the place where they threw stones at him, where they attempted to kill him. Why would he go back? I want to be clear. He did not go back to Judea to relive the trauma. He did not go back to Judea to rehash the past. He did not go back to reinforce a perpetual victimization status. He went back to perform one of the greatest miracles in his ministry. Jesus went back. He resurrected someone who was dead for 4 days, something he had not done before. We all have a Judea. We all have that place. We all have a place in our lives where we have experienced warfare and possibly even walked out with some wounds. We all have a place. And I'm not talking about a geographical place necessarily. In all probability, it's more of a spiritual place, a season, a relationship, an assignment, where we experienced so much pushback that for that season, we had to depart from that place, even if it was just emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Judea, Jesus said, I'm going back to the very place they kicked me out of. When God tells you to go back to Judea, woo, it's not to revisit the past. It's to unleash something new. Oh, here we go. Here we go. When God tells you to go back, it is only because he has anointed you to do what you did not do before. Jesus went back in and performed one of his greatest miracles. And here's the word. Wherever there's a threat, there's a miracle behind that threat. Wherever there is warfare, there is breakthrough behind that warfare. Wherever there is brokenness, there's a blessing behind that brokenness. Wherever there's an obstacle right now in your life, there is an overflow behind that obstacle in your life. We're going back to Judea. And here's the clarion call, prophetically speaking. You may be aware, I may be aware of what the enemy did in the past. Jesus said, we are going back. So here's the word. I'm here to declare by faith through Christ that you are about to go back. Every single person here, we're about to go back. Ho-ho. And we are about to occupy the very area hell has fought to keep us out of. You are about to do greater things in the same area that hell kicked you out of. You're about to go back and serve as a conduit for Christ to save, deliver, and heal friends and family members in the very area where you were pushed out of. I don't know if you're getting this, but we're going back. I dare you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I am going to see what I have never seen before in the very same area where I was attacked before. I don't know if you know what you just said, but I don't know if you know what you just said. If your Judea is your children, you are about to see the glory of God with your children like you've never seen before. If your Judea is your marriage, you're about to see God show up in your marriage like you've never seen God before. If your Judea is your city, your community, and your generation, we are about to see the glory of God like we have never seen before. If you believe it, shout like you're going back to Judea. I'm going in to witness the salvation, deliverance, and healing of people I know in the very area where the enemy tried to take me out. The place where they try to break you will be the place of your breakthrough. The place where they wounded you will be the place where God will do wonders through you. The place of the mess will be the place of the miracle. Oh, I sense God. I sense God. The place, we're going back to Judea. We're going back to Judea. And you're not going, Jesus did not go back, which he could have, but he didn't. Jesus did not go back like this. He did not go back. I'm going back to Judea to prove my haters wrong. You don't live to prove anyone wrong. You live as a testimony of the finished work of Christ. You live to prove the gospel right. And what's your insurance policy? What does that mean? What am I saying right now? I'm gonna get in trouble, Dr. Clark. Here we go. Judea is the place where we get kicked out of, that somehow we got to go back and occupy it and do greater things than before. We have Judeas. I can tell you, let me speak corporately now. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Christ, we have a bunch of Judeas that we must go back and occupy. For example, they kicked this, there's an educational mountain. That's Judea in 2022. They kicked us out of Judea. And right now in Judea, forget about Lazarus dying and being in grave clothes. In the educational Judea right now, because they kicked us out, we see an attempt right now to sexualize our children. We have a spirit of unbridled sexualization. It's perversion. If I may not get invited, but if a 32-year-old adult approaches my 6-year-old grandson to talk about sexuality and sexual organs and gender, that is pedophilia, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to stand up. And you know what we need to do? We need to go back. They kicked us out of education. We need to rise up with truth and love and say, we're going back to Judea of education in the name of Jesus.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Samuel Rodriguez here on TBN. This show is completely sponsored and paid for by New Season Church in Sacramento, California. Newsmax magazine has rated New Season Church one of the top 15 fastest growing megachurches in the country. They also named Pastor Sam Rodriguez one of the top 100 Christian leaders in America. If you have ever been blessed by this program, this church, or Pastor Sam, would you consider partnering with us by making a donation? There are many ways to give. The QR code on the screen can be scanned by your phone. You can text NSSAC to the number 77977 or by going to newseasonworship.org and clicking Give at the top of the page. New Season is a church that looks a lot like heaven. And every week this program strives to give you a message that sounds like it came from heaven. Content that is meant to encourage, edify, and inspire you. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and this program is meant to bring forth the Lamb's agenda. Thank you for considering giving to this program so that the message of Jesus Christ can continue to be broadcast on TBN to over 2 billion potential viewers across the globe. No matter the amount, any donation helps keep this program running. Would you please consider partnering with us? In doing so, we have the ability and opportunity to change the world.
The education mountain is a Judea. The government mountain is a Judea. We need to go back and influence our political discourse with Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice, truth and love. We need to push back against the notion, and it's still within the American church and even the global church, but more the American, the church is still divided between this idea that we should not get involved, that somehow it becomes so sticky. Oh, it divides people. Christians should not be involved politically. Christians should not talk about the political discourse. Quite the contrary. Born again Christians filled with the Spirit of God, we need to influence. That's why all we've done, we have abdicated, and we are permitting for donkey worshipers and for elephant worshipers to dominate the landscape when the worshipers of the Lamb should show up and say, in the name of Jesus, let's bring about an agenda that is transformative. There are areas, the entertainment Judea, back in the 1920s, a man named Charlie Chaplin would attend the church led by a woman named Emmy Sempy McPherson. He would attend the church. And Hollywood, some of the most prominent actors and actors from 1920s, 30s, they actually attended was Angela's Temple. We need to reoccupy. We need to go back to that Judea. And we need to go back and do what we've never done before. I am believing prophetically, Kumbaya Christianity comes to an end. Complacent Christianity comes to an end. Woe is me Christianity comes to an end. Sucking your thumb, fetal position, whining, moaning, complaining, posting, Christianity comes to an end. There is an army rising up in the name of Jesus that says, as for me and my house, we are going back to Judea and occupy the very area hell has fought to keep us out of. If you're ready to occupy your Judea, now give God the best praise you've given him. Lift up your hands. Repeat after me. I'm going back to Judea. I'm going in. I'm going in with truth. I'm going in with love. I'm going in with righteousness. I'm going in with justice. I'm going in with a fresh anointing. I'm going in empowered by the Spirit of God. As for me and my house, we are going in. We are going in. We are going in. Let me declare it again. You are about to occupy the very area hell has fought to keep you out of. The very area. Jesus said, I'm going back to Judea. Received pushback from those around him. Why should we go back? Let me give you the insurance policy. Here's why you should go back. Here's why I should go back. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Isaiah 52:12. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. And here comes Isaiah 45, verse 2, here's the word of the Lord. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I hear the Lord say, I level the mountains. I am the God that breaks down the gates and I cut through the bars of iron. Leveling the mountains means obstacles. Breaking down the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's all opposition. The bars of iron, imprisonment, that's oppression. Obstacles, opposition, oppression. What a mighty God we serve. The Lord says, in this season, I am leveling the mountains. I am breaking down the gates. I am cutting through the bars of iron. By the time you get home, you will discover the mountains leveled in the name of Jesus. Let me repeat that one more time. By the time you get home, you will discover mountains leveled. As I speak right now, by the time you get home, you will discover the gates broken. And by the time you get home, you will discover the iron bars removed. He does it. Get there. Get to Judea. Get there. Get over your past and get there. Get over the pain and get there. Get over the shame and get there. Get over the rejection and get there. Get over the fear and get there. Get over the anxiety and get there. Jeremiah 6:16, if you don't know how to get there, here's the map. Here's your ways, your Google Maps. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. I'm about to occupy, you are about to occupy the very area hell has fought to keep you out of. Is that rhetoric? Absolutely not. I have, Jason's with me. You saw him, Jason, last time when we were here in October. We released, we were preaching on the prodigal son in our a few weeks right before Palm, so the week before Palm Sunday. And just a prophetic infusion of God's grace filled the auditorium, and we were streaming live around the world like we do every Sunday morning. And something really interesting happened. So we're preaching about the prodigal son, and we referenced a verse from Isaiah about leveling the mountains, removing the obstacles, doing away with oppression, and seeing the immediate breakthrough. That's why it's not hype, it's not rhetoric. You have to be determined with great intentionality. That second declaration, haven't I told you that if you believe, you will see my glory? When it is impossible, it officially belongs to God. The moment it becomes impossible, it officially belongs to God. I'm gonna repeat that till you get that in your spirit. The moment it becomes impossible, it officially belongs to God. The moment it becomes impossible, it officially belongs to God. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see my glory. All things are possible, but you must believe. It's about what we believe. It's not about what we hope for. It's not what we aspire. It's what we believe. You are what you believe. What do we truly believe? We need believers to rise up, and I mean no hype, no rhetoric, no exuberance. What do we truly believe? If you truly believe that he who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, if you truly believe that there is still power in the name of Jesus, if you truly believe that we have authority over all principalities and powers of darkness, Luke 10:19, if you truly believe it, then you live according to your belief system. So we were in a service, and Jason can bear witness, and you can Google people and email them and just verify, do your due diligence. We were in the service, and I'm preaching on the prodigal son. Our campus in Los Angeles is pastored by a friend of mine, a friend for over 30 years. I'll give you names. My friend's campus pastor's name, Charlie Rivera, that's his name, Charlie, Los Angeles. Charlie's our campus pastor in LA. So we preach in Sacramento. We do a hybrid model. And when he preaches, he actually preaches my sermon with the condition you could add on, but you can't take away. It is what it is. So Charlie is preaching on the prodigal son the same day I'm preaching on the prodigal son. It's just one issue. Charlie's been living through a prodigal son moment. For over 6 months, Charlie's daughter, in her mid-20s, randomly, out of the blue, raised in home, Christian home her entire life, left home, no communication, no text message, no phone calls. To such a degree that Charlie and Betty, they called law enforcement, they thought something tragically happened. They verified somehow that she was alive, but in a very precarious circumstance. Charlie is preaching the message of the prodigal son. For 6 months, no communication with their daughter, zero whatsoever. Their daughter not being cognizant of anything happening at church. Charlie's preaching on the prodigal son, and he's broken because he's living out the message of the prodigal son. In the middle of Charlie reading the narrative about, and then the father was waiting for the prodigal son, and he saw him from a distance. Guess what happens? in the back of the auditorium, like a Netflix movie. That's why I'm telling you, complete revival. In the back of the auditorium, the doors open up. This could be scripted. You got to go. You got to be kidding me. In the back of the auditorium, he's going in. The Father saw him from a distance, and he's broken because he's living this thing out. And inside, he's praying, man, I wish this would happen to me right now. All of a sudden, the back door opens up. The daughter, who has been a prodigal for 6 months, zero communication, opens up the door. She's crying. She has no idea what her dad's preaching about, no idea what's going on. She just sees her dad preaching. She walks into the door. Charlie sees her. He's thinking, this is an illusion, a mirage. This is not happening. She walks in midstream. He stops the message, runs to her like the father and the prodigal son, picks her up. The prodigal daughter comes back home. That's not it. I'm at church. All of a sudden, I get bombarded just releasing the word. We stood there and we said, you got to believe. What do you believe? You are what you believe. Do you believe your prodigal sons and daughters are coming back home? And I asked that. No, not hope, aspire, think, wishful thinking. How many truly believe that your prodigal sons and daughters will come back home this very year? And all of a sudden, we had people, Jason can attest to this, getting crazy text messages going like, what's going on here? My daughter who hasn't talked to me for 2 years, for 3 years. My son who has been, boom, involved in drug addiction, meets with Pastor Lauren Ditmore, says, Dad, I have no idea what's going on. Just something is driving me. I'm coming back home. What am I telling you? We are what we believe. I believe we're about to see more prodigal sons and daughters come back home than ever before. I believe we're about to see more people saved, transformed.
Sam Rodriguez, best-selling author, film producer, and pastor of New Season Church in Sacramento, has a new book, Persevere with Power, What Heaven Starts, Hell Cannot Stop.
Because I am believing in the name of Jesus that before this is over, you're going to go from a plow to a mantle, and you're going to walk out of an anointing that will enable you to change your life for the glory of Jesus.
Order this book now, and while supplies last, receive a free gift by emailing your receipt to books@newseasonworship.org.